for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 26th, 2004. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Cheryl Batts of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister on this.
Be obedient to my word. Be obedient to my word. Be obedient to my word. I'll set you free. I'll set you free. Be obedient to my word. Be obedient to my word. For I am coming, for I am coming, like a battle axe in the night, like a battle axe in the night. I'm coming, I'm coming, like a battle axe in the night, like a battle axe in the night. Be obedient to my word. Be obedient to my word. I'm coming. I'm coming. Like a battle axe in the night, like a battle axe in the night. Don't be afraid, don't draw back on my word. I'm coming, I'm coming. Don't draw back on my word, don't draw back on my word. I am coming. I am coming like a battle axe in the night. I am coming like a battle axe in the night. Don't be afraid. Don't draw back. I'm coming like a battle axe in the night. I am coming like a battle axe in the night to set you free. To set you free, like a battle axe in the night, like a battle axe in the night. Don't draw back on my word, don't draw back on my word, don't draw back on my word. I am coming, I am coming like a battle axe in the night. I am coming. Yes, I am coming like a battle axe in the night. I am coming to tear down those things which have hindered you and stopped you from moving forth. You have been drawing back on my word. You have been afraid to speak my word in the places where I have set you. But do you not know that I am not a God of circumstance and half chance? I am a God of divine purpose. And I have set you in a place and I have put you in those positions because I am God. I am the great I am. I am he who delivers. It is in my name that you are delivered. And I have set you free for such a time as this. I have set you free that you might set others free. Do not draw back on my word. Do not hold back on my word. Don't be selfish in the things that I have given you. But pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out and listen to me. Listen to me when I say left, go left. When I say right, go right. Do what I tell you to do and you will not pour out too much. Do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it, and things will go right with you. For I am the Lord God, Jehovah. I am the one that healeth thee. I am the one that has filled you up, and I will continue to fill you up. But don't hold back on my word. Pour out, for I have poured it in that you may pour it out. For my people are dying. My people are dying. My people are dying. My people are dying. And I need you to pour out your word. I need you to pour out the word that I give to you. I need you to say what I tell you to say. I need you to dance when I tell you to dance. I need you to laugh when I tell you to laugh. I need you to love when I tell you to love. For my people need me. And you are my arms. You are my legs. You are my eyes. You are my everything. And I love you more than you know. Oh, you say how much you love me. And you think you know how much I love you. But you have not seen, and eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard. You have not felt the depth and the breadth of my love. You have not felt the depth and the breadth of the way that I want to bring you in under my wings. And I want to heal you, and I want to use you as a battling axe. Oh, my children, come unto me and let me heal you. Come unto me and let me cover you. Come unto me and know that I am the great I am. I am everything that you need. In me there is everything. With me you will need no one. With me you will need no one else. For I am the great I am. I am he that created the heavens and the earth and set it in this motion. I am he that separated the earth from the waters. I am the great I am. I am in love with you. Do you not know my love? Oh, how I want you to come into me like a chick unto a hen. And I want to feed you on my word. I want to show you the deeper things within me. I want to take you to places that you have never seen. I want you to be my intercessors. I want you to pray when I say pray. Oh, but if you would just come to me in the wee morning of the hours when I call you. If you would but just come to me. If you would but hear my voice. Hearken unto me. Hearken unto me. Hearken unto me. For each of you has a place. Each of you has a place. Do not think that I am a God that makes mistakes. How dare you? You are not a mistake. You are exactly what I want you to be. You are exactly the size I want you to be. You are the color I want you to be. Oh, don't you know how much I love you? Don't you know how much I care? I say no, you don't, because you do not obey me. You do not come in the wee mornings and spend time with me that I might love you. You do not come in the early mornings and the early nights with me so that I can tell you the deeper things of life, that you might know my personality, that you might know my character. No, 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 no. I want you because you are my own. I made you. I need you to come unto me. Yes, I am the great I am, but I made you to love me. I made you to commune with me. I made you to come in unto me. Oh, do not hesitate when you hear me call, but come unto me, for I love you. I love you. I love you. And there is much to do. There is much to do. My children are dying. My children are going to hell. My children are being deceived. Oh, come, 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 come unto me. Come unto me, my children. Come unto me. But there is much work to be done. Much work to be done. And I must pour into you my love. I must pour into you my wisdom. I must pour into you my caring. I must pour into you my character. For there is much attack and much work to be done. But it is in me that you will be safe. It is in me that I will protect you. It is in me, for I am the vine and you are the branches. Do not cut away from me. Do not pull away. Do not draw back. For I am the great I am. And I love you in a way that you will not understand until you spend time with me. Hallelujah. I don't know about nobody else, but God, I say, I renew my covenant with you to be obedient to your word, God. I renew myself, God, before this people. And I say, yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord.
Yes.
I say yes, Lord.
Yes.
For surely you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, as I stand before you, I haven't got a clue what he's doing.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so we're going to... I think I might have an idea, so let's go and see how long we stay. The Lord had me in Esther, the third chapter. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Starting with the third chapter in the first verse, after these things, this is the Amplified version. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and did reverence to Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai did not bow down or do him reverence. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now when they spoke to him day after day, and he paid no attention to them, they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's conduct would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down or do him reverence, he was very angry. But he scorned laying hands only on Mordecai. So since they had told him Mordecai's nationality, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, throughout the whole kingdom of Assyria. In the first year, the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Haman caused Pur, that is, Lot, to be cast before him day after day to find a lucky day for his venture, month after month, until the 12th, the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from every other people, neither do they keep the king's law. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who have charge of the king's business, that it may be brought into the king's treasury." I focus on the sixth verse that said, "But he scorned laying hands only on Mordecai." So since they had told him Mordecai's nationality, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of what the women and I studied today about confronting the spirit of witchcraft. Haman wanted everybody to bow down to him. He probably would have taken over the king's throne if he had had half an opportunity or half a chance. But he was unable to do so. So he manipulated his way into the throne room of the king and got him into his good side, or so he thought. And he began to tell him things about a certain group of people. As I was reading this scripture, that certain group of people, since we are spiritual Jews, then I have to say are spiritual Israelites, whichever one you're more comfortable with. I believe that that is a representation of who we are today. And that Haman represents a spirit that is in the land today. That spirit of witchcraft that would not only like to get rid of just one person, but seeks to destroy us all. So if you think just because you are not under attack or you've got it good and things are going your way that you're not going to experience some attack, I'm here to tell you, duh, not so. Because it is the exact cause of the enemy to destroy us all. It is exactly like Balaam and Balak. One was the seer and Barak was the king. He wanted to curse the children of Israel, so he hired Balaam. And Balaam said, I can't do that. He said, I can't do that. I cannot curse them because they are the blessed people of God. So you're already blessed. And if you're not walking in those blessings, it's because you are in deception to who you are and whose you are. And because he could not curse them, he caused them to curse themselves by causing them, in some instances, in our instances, speak even those things over ourselves that are not true. as we talked about, oh, my arthritis or my rheumatism, it don't belong to you, so stop claiming it.
Amen.
And that goes in every area of your life. So as we look at that spirit of witchcraft, it has been in operation for many years. I believe that the spirit of witchcraft is the identity, carbon copy of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that just as the Holy Spirit can move on the inside of you and cause you to do good, so can the spirit of witchcraft. But for two different reasons. One is selfish and the other is selflessness. So depending on your choice in life, depending on what you want to do and how much of the Word of God you let get inside of you to cause you to become the personality and the character of God will determine how much of witchcraft you understand and operate in. Some of us operate in it because it is a curse on the family line and we've never known about it, so we have not broken that curse. But I tell you that it is a curse, and it can be. It can cause illnesses in your body, undefined illnesses. It can cause you to get an idolatry to your house, to your husband, to your car, to your job, to your child. It will cause you to put anything on the throne of your heart except God, who is in his rightful place, who should be in the throne of your heart. How strange it was. We know the story of Esther and how Haman sought to have Mordecai and all of the Jews killed, and how it was turned upon him. And so if we will but wait upon the Lord, even when things don't look like they're going right, God will be victorious in the end for you. But oh, it does cause us to stretch our faith a little bit when we're in the downtime in the valley and things don't look right and all you can see is the ground. You have gotten so beat down by the spirit of witchcraft, you can barely look up to say, Jesus, you're just going, Jesus. Jesus. And I have been there. I don't know a lot of people who have been in the walk of Christianity that can say they have not come to a place at times when all they feel like they can see is the bottom of the other person's shoe. And I'm sure that's what Jesus saw as he made his way down up to Calvary, being beat upon and falling and getting up again, that all he could see was the bottom of somebody else's shoe. So as you make your walk, and you walk in this thing, and you're on your way to that place that God wants us all to be. Now, you know, there's a place that we can get of maturity and not of perfection. And many of us make the mistake of thinking that we're going to be perfect when it's all over with. Yes, when you die and cross over. But until then, you settle with being excellent in all that you do and all that you bring to God. Even excellent when you sin. David was not a perfect man, but he was a man after the heart of God. Why? Because he was excellent in the fact that he recognized, like, duh, I have blown it. Let me go back to that place and to that God that I know who is forgiving. So he became a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect, but because he knew which side his bread was buttered on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down or do reverence unto him, and he was angry. We study today with the spirit of witchcraft that if you really want to find out if you're under witchcraft or somebody is doing practicing witchcraft on you, trying to make you do things that you don't want to do, and you feel uncomfortable with that person. I mean, it's like they're not just walking around sprinkling dust on you, but every time they get around, there's something in here that just don't feel right. And you know, Christians always want to do right. So they just walk around for a long time without discernment till it finally dawns on them, this is just not right. This is just not God. But that's why we have to constantly pray. That is why the word of the Lord to us today is to come in unto him and understand his personality, understand his character, read his word, understand who he is and pray to him, have a relationship with him, because it is in that relationship that your discernment will grow. It is in that relationship that your discernment will go deeper so that you can discern before you waste a lot of time on a no-go-and-where job and a no-go-and-where relationship. And many times in our relationships with each other as husband and wife, and I know that I'm single, but I got friends I know, so I think I can say this, that as you want to manipulate each other into being all that you want them to be, stop that. That's manipulation and control. It's witchcraft. And it's as the sin of idolatry.
Why do you want them to be perfect and you're not?
Come on.
Why are you trying to make them so perfect? Make them perfect so they're my perfect wife, my perfect husband, and you are imperfect.
Come on.
If they get all that perfect, they'll probably leave you. Who wants to be with anyone imperfect once I'm perfect? If you want somebody to change, I believe in the Word of God. It says, I believe in the book of Proverbs. It says that the heart of the king is in the hand of God. So if the heart of the king and your husband is the king is in the heart of God, then maybe I need to go to God about you.
Hey, help me.
Maybe I need to say, God, I think he's trying to control me. And I'm getting just a little bit disturbed. Give me grace, God. Because I don't care how much you yell at him. I don't care how much you go off on him. It's not going to change because he's going to dig in. He's just going to dig in. Because, see, he's the mighty man of God. And he's not going to let little Jezebel tell him what to do. So you're going to have to be Esther. You're going to have to go to God. You have to go to him. He's the king. Go to him as the king. Oh, great and mighty husband. Those last words you said to me hurt me. Well, what you mean? Well, it just hurt my heart that you said that to me. Oh, no, it did not. Darling, now you saying no, it didn't. Now you make me feel like I'm nothing. What? Well, that's okay. I'm just going to go to God because I love you. And I don't want you to think I'm trying to tell you what to do. And you just go off someplace and talk to God. Because the greatest error that we make is that we curse ourselves. Sometimes we call the devil and call the devil and say that he's the one doing things when it's really our flesh.
Come on.
So you know, a lot of times somebody said something and I thought, oh my goodness. Somebody said that we oftentimes get to praying and we have allowed ourselves to pray to ourselves. We ain't even praying to God. We're praying to ourselves. Because we have allowed ourselves to become king on our throne. So when we get down to pray, we start praying about the things we want, the things we need, the things that we want to change, the things we want to see happening in our homes and in our jobs and everything. So you just pray to yourself. Your prayers haven't even reached heaven yet. Now that was scary to me. That is scary to think that I would get to a place that instead of praying to God, I'm praying to myself. Do y'all know how much trouble my stuff has gotten me into? And I got the audacity to be praying to myself? Oh, no. I had to stop and think about it. I said, oh, I was probably the first time that I needed a refreshing deliverance. Come on. No, absolutely not. Because we're never going to have it all our way all the time. It's never going to be like that. God loves us and He's gonna give us what we need. But He's not always going to give us everything that we want. It's not going to happen like that. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He is so far and high above all that we do. As God begins to work in our lives and we begin to call to Him and we begin to pray to Him and we begin to say to Him, Father, oh, Father, I'm in this situation. I need you. When He gives you an idea and a way out, it becomes so clear that your prayers prior to that were so small because you were so worried about you and me and your four and no more. But when God gives you an answer, it not only involves your household, it involves your neighborhood and your community and your city. And then we act like we are Elisha. We kill the 800, you know who I'm talking about, up in the mountain. He killed them all, right? Then he runs off and hides. We run off and hide. After God answers the prayers, does a mighty work and a mighty miracle, we run off and hide because the spirit of witchcraft is so strong. For every time that there is a mighty move of God, you can be sure that the spirit of witchcraft is lurking around trying to get just a little piece of that, to pervert it. And for, quote unquote, as Dad said, foolish people and foolish women, just a little infringement on the truth can cause so many people to go the wrong way. Because true enough, witchcraft is a carbon copy of the Holy Ghost. And it says that even the elect shall be fooled. So that means that those of us that think that we're all that, a bag of chips and some, have to come to the realization that we need God every day. And if you really think you're all that, you need Him more than I need Him, because I know I ain't all that. I just ain't. That's why I played the song. I don't know why He loves me so much. I can't figure it out. He say right, I go left. I'm like a bad dancer. Everybody ain't got rhythm. Forgive me, Lord. I must be stepping all on His feet doing this dance marathon. But it requires so much of us. And do you realize that if we spend as much time in the presence of God seeking His face, that we have very little time to allow the enemy to make a mountain out of a molehill? The spirit of witchcraft can be found in 1 Samuel 15 and 23. We won't necessarily go there, but for those that are listening by tape, if they've never read that scripture, they need to understand that rebellion is like witchcraft. Galatians 5 and 20, that witchcraft is one of the works of the flesh. Haman was operating out of his flesh. He was so angry because Mordecai would not bow to him. And you know who else that reminds me of? Joseph. Joseph would not bow. Daniel would not bow. All of these great men of God came into my mind as I begin to read this about how they would not bow. They would not bow to the idols. We cannot allow ourselves to bow to the idols that have been set before us. That's all the enemy does, is set things before us, and then we have a choice. Are you going to watch MTV? Are you going to switch it over to 27 and see what's going on? Or just cut it off and get before the Lord and make your own
Amen.
Music? You have a choice. When Barak and Balaam were having their discussion and finally came to the conclusion that they would cause the girls to like the boys in the land and vice versa, those boys and girls had a choice. They had a choice. But they refused to choose from within their own congregation of believers. And they chose outside of that. See, now I don't think that it had a whole lot to do with choosing a Canaanite woman versus a Jewish woman. I think it had to do with being a believer and not a believer.
Amen.
Now I know y'all don't want me to preach on that. Leave that right there. Because Ruth was a Moabite. But she somehow made it into the lineage of Jesus. So I don't think color or ethnicity is how you need to make your choice about who you hang out with. It's who. What do you believe? Whose report do you believe? Do you believe the report? Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Are you moving in that direction? Are you going this way? That is how you make your choices. It's just that simple. You know, sometimes we try to make things so hard. Like you got to fast 40 days or 40 nights whether or not to go into some kind of relationship with somebody, whether it be business or personal. Do they believe? Did you see them at the last camp meeting? Didn't know.
Amen.
I've come to that conclusion. Maybe that's why I'm still single. I don't know. I don't care. I'm happy. I'm thinking like, I just wait. Sarah was all right. God took care of her.
Yeah.
I just wait. After all I've seen, I'll just wait. Thank you. Thank you very much. I know women that fasted and prayed for husbands. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe they was fasting and praying for husbands. All of them married the husbands they talk about. They all have children. They're all divorced and miserable. And you know, they was trying to get me to come. I was like, oh no, I'm not coming. I'm not coming over there with y'all. I'm busy. I was busy casting out devils. They was over there praying and fasting for us. I just could not believe it. In a deliverance church. I couldn't believe it. You don't fast and pray for no husband. You just stay busy. Just stay busy doing the things of God.
Amen.
Praise God. Galatians 5 and 20 says that witchcraft is one of the works of the flesh. And from all things that we can see in the Bible and in our personal lives, it is the works of the flesh. It is getting somebody to do something that they would not normally do because it's going to benefit you in some kind of way. Simple as that. Exodus 22 and 18 says that the punishment for witchcraft is death. But the gift of eternal life is when you die to yourself. Witchcraft, carbon copies of the Holy Ghost. One brings death, one brings life. Amen? Amen. And Deuteronomy 18 and 10, now that's real. This is really a strange one. It shouldn't be found among Christians. Can you believe that, Doc? Witchcraft shouldn't be found among Christians. Oh, my goodness. How many times have we gone into churches and as soon as the pastor hits the pulpit, it's this strong push about the building fund and getting money. $10 here, $5, $10 from this group, and $25 and $50 and $100 to raise money for a building. Is the building really that important? Or do you need to be raising money to find out a little bit more about AIDS because half of your community in Garland County and state of Arkansas is almost, you don't know who's got it. It's so bad. That's what the churches should be functioning on. But they're not even coming together on that because somehow or another they are deluded into thinking because they're watching TV and they're getting impressed with the big cars and all of the things that's going on. I have a girlfriend that hangs out with all of those big guys and those big shots. And I was appalled when she started laughing and she said, you know, you would be surprised to believe that half of the congregations, the administrative congregations of those ministries, most of the women have had breast implants. And Botox, nose changes. I'm like, what? She said it's true. And she said, and their teeth, watch their teeth. She said, if the lights go out and the lights are iridescent, their teeth glow. I have no dental insurance. I'm like, oh, God, don't let me get a cavity. Just believe you, God, for health and strength, God. Thank you, Jesus. And they're having their teeth, but they're glowing in the dark. Well, bless Jesus. And it's true. You operate in cooperation with the spirit of witchcraft when you seek to control someone whom you have no legal authority to discipline, such as another adult. There's a difference between discipline and control. Discipline is training that develops self-control, character, or orderliness and efficiency. A parent to a child or God to us. There is biblical discipline, and it talks about it in Proverbs 22 and 15, 23 and 14. Witchcraft is getting someone to do something they would not normally do. The act of manipulation and intimidation. The intimidation is the part that really gets me because they believe so heavily in what they are doing and what they want to get from you. They will get up in your face to try to make you believe the lie that they are telling you to get you to do what they want you to do. They make it very, very real. And I had a woman come into my office and she just walked into my office and I knew her and she just started talking. And the more she talked, it seemed like the farther over I was bending and I didn't understand what it was at the time. And when she left, I was 3 weeks on a cane because my sciatica nerve had gone out because she had spit out so much venom. And it was coming from somebody that I thought I knew. And so when I was like, And so when you get hit, then you learn to confront. If you never get hit by it, then you don't know how to confront. So don't come in my office now thinking that you're going to spit out at me because I'm ready for you. Happened to me once, will not happen to me again. So if you don't want to buy the T-shirt, listen to what I'm saying. When people come to you and they have negative things to say, just say, I'm not enjoying this conversation, and cut them off. Amen. Just cut them off. You do not have to listen to them. When people are not being nice to you, you are not obligated as a Christian to listen. That is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to be Christ-like and say that I am uncomfortable with what you are saying. It is not growing me. It is hurting me if I let it, and I would appreciate it if you would just stop. Now, that takes a boldness that is not seen throughout the body of Christ. I don't know where we got left up, but you know, Jesus was meek in spirit, but he was not a wimp. He operated in and stayed in front of the Lord, so in front of God so much in his prayer time that he operated on what I consider the third highest level of the prophetic, that He knew what you were going to say before you said it, so he answered what was in your heart rather than what came out of your mouth. That's where we can go. It ain't no if we could. It ain't no maybe we can. I am telling you that there is a place where we can go in God. So that when a person opens his mouth and says something to you, you have already discerned this person is hurting. This person has low self-esteem. This person got a demon that's trying to rile me up. And you can deal with it on that level. Immediately. It won't take 40 days of fasting. But we are not doing that as the body of Christ. For some reason, the spirit of witchcraft is operating so heavily in the body of Christ, and those that are operating under the Holy Ghost have a fear of throwing up their shield and saying, this is not God. Fear is not of God. I think it's just one of those things that operates with the spirit of witchcraft to get you still to do and to go against what God is telling you to do. The spirit of witchcraft projects guilt upon others. Unnecessary correction and criticism, fault finding, disapproval, condemnation, confrontation, ignoring an individual's existence. That's a good one. I've had people, I was sitting down like this, and they walk up, and another person is sitting there. And this is me. This person gets up, and they start talking. We all know each other. But my existence is nothing to them. They will stand in front of me and carry on this long conversation with this person. Because my existence means nothing to them. It's not an excuse me and step to the left or the right so that the conversation is inclusive. People do that when they want to let you know that you mean nothing to them.
Oh,
thank
come
you.
On now.
I don't tolerate it anymore. When I see it happening, I just get up and move. I don't even want to be in the conversation because I don't like the spirit of it. I give you about 3 seconds to step to the side and include me. And if you don't, because I don't want that little devil to come up and say they just racist. I see they was white.
Yeah.
I just get up and move. I want that devil to get up, and I don't want that other one to get up either. Because you don't want me to get mad. Ain't that right, ladies? Did we talk about that? Hallelujah. They circulate malicious opinions. There's a non-acceptance into their circle of friends. And they blame you. They make you blame you for everything. Well, if you had been on time, we would have got there and blah, 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 blah. And they just go on and on and on. And sometimes we don't say things to people like that because you say, well, I've been knowing them a long time. They've always been like that. That don't mean that it's right. Just because they've been doing it all that time, it doesn't mean they're right. Witchcraft also establishes uncertainty to build insecurity in a person and dependence upon only their information and their abilities. Altering true information, withholding true information, issuing false information, and using big names as informational sources. Oh, I like the one, I really feel the Lord told me. Now, you know, most of us, did somebody tell you the Lord said it, you really think the Lord? You really feel the Lord told you that? Yes, the Lord told me. You say, well, now, just in case it wasn't the Lord, this is what I think that the Lord is telling me to tell you. You know, just in case. Because, see, I don't want to have that word, and then God told me to tell you that word, and you said the Lord said something else, and I didn't say it. I want you to go down hearing me say, hey, the Lord said, go left. Because that's my responsibility. I come to you with a word and somebody over here gave you a word. Well, I'm going to give you my word too. So you got a choice. You're a free will agent. If you pray and believe in God and you know his personality and his character, you should be able to judge it. Because God will what? See, big C, confirm his word.
Amen?
Amen. 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 He will confirm his word. illegally assuming authority without responsibility, claiming to have the official permission of those in charge. Ain't talked to nobody. I found out that girl was doing that. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. I'd go back and just happen to say something to somebody. And they would say, she did. I never said that. And I was like, oh, boy. So, you know, when people, you find out that the people are operating in it and it's got to be a real thing with them, and they come around, it's just, you know, it's a big circle around them.
Oh, yeah.
You go over there and I'm over here because when it happens, I want to make sure that I'm far enough away not to get hit. Because you can't continue doing that. You cannot continue doing that. You have to get away from people who are entrenched into witchcraft. There is no way that you can stay with them. If you are married to them, then you are covered by the blood of Jesus. And the fact that you are married to them means that you have to stay in the presence of God in order not to operate in witchcraft, to counteract what they're doing. Because it will cause you to do that. I've gone to churches where the pastor's wife every Sunday, oh, God, she was so sharp. I thought I was a pretty good dresser. But I tell you, after about 2 weeks, I'm done. Repeat for me. I mean, 3-6 months, I never saw a repeat. I was like, whoa. All of a sudden, I had this feeling, well, maybe I need to get a second job. I can't go down there this week. This is the same outfit I had on, you know, 3 weeks ago. And I stopped dead still. And I thought, what is that? God said, competition. And I said, oh, those poor people. Those poor women at that church, spending their last little money every time they have some kind of pastors, whatever, and they're always having some kind of little fiesta, some kind of little something, and they got to buy, they feel like, they got to buy this little outfit to keep up. Ah, keeping up with the Joneses. It is so unreal. I felt it. And I couldn't stand here and minister to you about it if I hadn't felt it. I mean, it was like the handwriting on the wall. I was like, God, what is this? What am I feeling? Mm-hmm. And there's a certain woman's organization, but since this is on tape, I'm not going to call it. And I'm president of the spa area. You know what I'm saying? I'm president. Well, all of a sudden, you know, it was like I began to realize it was more than this little thing that they read. And you get involved like, oh, we're going to help each other. We'll be sisters. You know, it was a very nice. I read it. You know, I knew it wasn't one of them fraternal things. So I was okay with, you know, okay, sounds good. We can do something in the community, help some of the younger sisters get scholarships to go to school and things like that. You know, and you get entrenched in that thing and you find out it is cutthroat.
Yeah.
Them girls want a career out of that thing. And they will do anything they can to go from local to state to national. And I was like fighting like a crab in a barrel. Let me out of here. Oh, let me out of here. Everything that you can think of that happens as far as witchcraft is concerned. And you know what? Even though I am not in that church today, I can hear my pastor, my first real pastor, saying that you should stay out of clubs and organizations and fraternal orders and all that kind of thing, because when it all boils down to it, it's not about Jesus.
Right.
It may have started off like that when they first started it way back when, but it's not like that now. So I tell you, I'm just repenting and getting just resigning like crazy. I'm resigning everything, and it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. If you don't know, it may not bother you. But if you know and the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of clicks your heart and you begin to see these things operating in that thing, you get out. Post haste. You don't waste any time. You get out. Illegally assuming authority without responsibility. Claiming to have the official permission of those in charge. Suggesting that they have the permission of those in charge. Manipulating, maneuvering, and motivating others to think, feel, and choose the way they want them to. Implied spiritual revelation, physical authority, violence, temper tantrum, force, drugs, sex, Rebelling against established authority. Like some of these things are very obvious to rebel against established authority. Even in our children, as they begin to rebel against you, and you think it's oh so cute, and you have to tell them more than 3 times to stop doing something, you need to nip that in the bud. You need to get a little prayer. You need to have a little prayer time with them. You need to anoint them at night when they sleep, anoint their shoes, and pray over them real good, and then get a little switch.
That's still
work. See, get your little switch after you done anointed, prayed for them. See, tell them about good and bad. This is good. This is bad. What do you want more of? Now, that is, that's the reason that you have dealt with yourself. And you have broken all of the curses of disobedience and rebellion and stubbornness and hard-headedness off of yourself.
That's right.
Because that child is the seed of your seed. And in the seed is life. And all your personality traits and everything that was you. And you can't you just hear your mom and daddy say, I just don't know where this child got all this from. Yeah. Of course you do. So that means you have to be the first one in your family to break it. Because they didn't break it, because if they had broke it, you wouldn't have went through 10 or 17 years worth of drugs. Went to drug rehab for 3 times trying to get yourself together because you were too stubborn to believe and too rebellious to believe that I am killing myself. Prideful delusion that getting high was a means of escape, and it did not settle anything. It did not clear up anything. When you got off the high, when you got off the drunk, it was still the same. It was still the same. And how many of us have had life-threatening experiences during that time, and we sit back now and just jump up every time it's time to praise God, because you can think about how you almost lost your life at least 3 or 4 times while you were so up high. Drunk, inebriated, whatever. That's why I say, holy is the Lamb. Yes. And that I don't understand how he loves me so. I can just remember us going from Chicago to Indianapolis. Fog everywhere. Spent our last little money going to Indianapolis where we could get good drugs. Libby's down in Indianapolis. Go to Libby in Indianapolis. You can get all the good drugs you want in Indianapolis. We're driving. Fog everywhere. Nobody sees the horses lined up on the highway. Road construction. We're just driving. All of a sudden, it's so thick we can't drive any further. We stop the car. He gets out. He walks around to the front of the car. They come back in the car. And both of them look like this. I'm thinking, something is wrong. They look like this. What's up? If we had driven 20 more feet, we would have been in a ravine. So they get back in the car. We back the car up. And I can hear myself saying, well, y'all done made me nervous now. You might as well fire up that last joint. Yes. Somebody tell me, is that not a God? I thought about that after I first got saved, and I just tried to tear the church up. Not on purpose, but at the graces and the goodness of God. How dumb can you be? You almost go over a ravine, lose your high because you're on here. I almost lost my high. Let me get another joint. God takes care of babies and fools. Hallelujah. That is rebelling against established authority, because everything that was established, everything that was right, horses telling you not to go down the road, and the fog can just be like the fog of pride and delusion. You know, you can stay in pride for so long that you get delusional. You get just plain delusional, where right is wrong and wrong is right, left is left and left is right and right is left, because you stay in it too long. And when a person is into it for so long like that, and they have so much pride, only God can bring them out. That is why you cannot manipulate or control or force somebody out of something that they've been doing for a long time. It's a lifestyle. They believe they are right. They believe that this is something that they have done that has caused them to be where they are. They think that they're saved by their own goodness and what they have done to save themselves. They are too delusional to understand that God is who brought them where they are. And the only way that they're going to understand that is when you back off and let God deal with them. For God says, I break the teeth of Leviathan. Not you, not me, but God. Amen?
Amen.
Many times you will also notice these characteristics of those who operate under the spirit of witchcraft. They will state the obvious, make a mountain out of a molehill, play, can you top this? Promise beyond their ability to deliver. Stampede into action before all the facts are in. Edit the facts to dramatize their point. Keep in constant motion, unconcerned about the direction. They do one thing, they finish that, they start another. Do one thing, they start another. Do one thing, don't even finish that, start another one. Get no direction. A whole bunch of unfinished stuff. Good projects, but got no direction for them. They state the opposite of the facts because all else has failed. How do we handle those who use these devices? Under no circumstances respond directly to their advances. Do not address the issues they raise. State that they have no responsibility or authority to make such a statement to you and that they are out of order. It's almost like being in a battered and abused situation. I ministered on that a couple of months ago, that there are men and women and children who are in battered and abused situations, hiding behind closed doors, afraid to tell people that they are being battered and abused. And they're so messed up, they don't even leave. They don't have the ability, they don't have the mindset to even leave out of that situation. And it's so devastating to them. The thought of leaving is a far greater crime than just staying there. And women are dying on a daily basis from being in situations where they are verbally and physically abused. And that verbal abuse goes to physical abuse. And that is also a form of witchcraft. Because they got this woman in this place and she's separated from everything and everybody. And there are men who are undergoing the same thing. You don't hear about the men as much, but there are men who are undergoing the same thing. They can't even have a relationship with their wives unless she's telling them, oh, well, you know, you got to do this. That ain't God. That's why you find whoredom runs with witchcraft. Whoredom and prostitution go with witchcraft. Because it's, well, I will if you do what I told you last month. Like that tennis bracelet. You love me, have a tennis bracelet. Well, I have a headache. I got the tennis bracelet. It's witchcraft!
Yes, it is.
Do not address the issues they raise. State that they have no responsibility or authority to make such a statement to you and that they are out of order. If your relationship with them has not been that close in the past, you may add that because of their present improper social behavior, it certainly won't be that close in the future. Whenever the mighty destroying, binding, delivering, yoke-destroying anointing of the Holy Ghost comes, it will break the spirit of witchcraft. It'll break it in your life. It'll break it in your husband's life. It'll break it in the life of your children. We have to become more discerning, body of Christ. Sisters and brothers, we have to understand that God has a higher calling for us and that there is more for us than we're going after. We're going after those things that are going to fulfill and satisfy us right in the here and the now. And what God wants us to do, and what he said to us earlier, he says, I'm coming like a threshing instrument in the night. and He's going to cast down and tear down those things that torment and harass us and keep us from being all that He's caused us to be. Because when we begin to see who we are, when we begin to get it really down in our spirits who we are and who God has called us to be, we will be the mighty threshing instrument that He's talking about, that He will use in the land to destroy the enemy so that His people will be set free. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God, and I love Him so very much. He's brought me from a mighty long way, and He's brought you from a mighty long way, and I do not doubt it. I don't stand here and try to think that my testimony is any better than anybody else's. We've all been given a testimony, because there are people out there that will hear what you have to say that may not hear what I have to say. We have to understand that we are each unique, and God made us that way. If He can make every snowflake different, then He can make each one of us different. And He has done it with a purpose. He's done it with forethought. It was not an accident. It did not just happen. You are here. You are the way that you are because this is the way that God wanted you to be. And Vioxx and all of that stuff, and to me, that's the devil.
Yeah.
You know, we got to grow old with grace. I like my hair. Sometimes they tell you I come in here and I have red hair. I feel like red hair that day.
Amen.
I have on a red wig. They be like, Cheryl, I feel like redhead. There are some days when it's maroon and black. I feel like that because I'm delivered. I'm free. And the Holy Ghost will work, and I will take that wig off and deliver you. Okay?
Amen.
I don't need to take that wig off. If we get to stopping in here, somebody need to be set free. The wig can go. I just
Amen.
Like it.
Amen.
That's one of those things I think God let me just get away with. But He loves us. He knows our personality. He knows our characters. He knows the things that we like. And He blesses us sometimes to give us some of the things we like, but more than likely He's going to give us everything that we need. All we have to do is just get in under Him, right?
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we just thank You and we praise You. We give You glory and honor. We thank You for who You are. Father, we thank You for this time together. And I ask You, Father, in the name of Jesus, to just bless Your people in Jesus' name. Father, we take authority over every hindering spirit, over everything that has harassed them, Father God, that has tormented them. Father God, we ask You right now in the mighty name of Jesus to come through this camp with the sword of the Lord, moving through this camp, Father God, through the camp of the enemy in our hearts. Father God, I pray that the blood of Jesus would be applied to each and every heart, that we might have the mind of Christ and the heart of God, that the blood of Jesus would be applied, Father God, to our very souls, Father God, that we might understand that it is that we should be led by our spirit man and not our soul. Father, we ask You right now to forgive us for any witchcraft that we may have operated in unknowingly and unwillingly. We ask You, Father God, to touch our hearts that we might be forgiving to those who have operated in witchcraft and manipulation and intimidation over us, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I praise You and I give You glory and all of the honor that right now that Your people would be set free from bitterness, Father God, those things that have caused them to be bitter and hindered, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Resentment and hatred, unforgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Move out of the hearts of the people of God. We come against the spirit of violence and temper and anger and retaliation. We come against that spirit of rejection and we separate You off from the spirit of rebellion right now in the name of Jesus. And You will draw no strength right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You that those that have used, Father God, drugs to escape, that right now in Jesus' name that You will bring them in, Father God, by Your power, and that mind control would be broken over them right now in Jesus' name. We cut off the tentacles of mind control that would operate with the spirit of escape, that would cause them to want to run away and not to be responsible to do the things that You have called them to do. We come against the spirit of fear that is embedded in their stomachs and in their hearts, God, in the name of Jesus. We bind and break the spirit of fear and we loose the spirit of faith, hope, and trust in You, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we come against the spirits of witchcraft and the occult. manipulation, maneuvering and manipulation right now in the name of Jesus. And we say, we fall out of agreement with you now in the name of Jesus. And each of you will back down and get up. We loose the angels of God to go forth to pull you up and out of our hearts right now in the name of Jesus. Move out of the mind and the will and the emotions of God's people right now in Jesus' name. Father, I praise you and I give you glory and I give you honor. I thank you that the spirits of rejection that have held your people in bondage would be loosed from them right now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of rejection and passivity, move in Jesus' name. Depression and heaviness, go in the name of Jesus. Move now in Jesus' name. Be loosed from the people of God in Jesus' name. Come off of their heads and their hearts and their minds and their wills and their emotions in Jesus' name. Father God, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you that the spirit of arrested development that causes them not to go forth, Father God, would be bound right now in the name of Jesus. And we loose the people of God, Father God, from birth to 7, to 9, to 12, to 13 in the Holy Ghost. And we shoot them forth into a spirit of maturity right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we glorify you and we honor you because truly there is no other God. We call upon the name of Jesus because at that name every knee must bow. And Father, we thank you and we praise you that everything that we have ministered here tonight, that the people of God will receive it, that it falls on good ground, and that it will do that that it's been sent out to do, to set your people free. Now, Father, we won't forget to give you the praise or the glory or the honor. We bind backlash and retaliation now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you that the seven spirits of God operate in the people. We thank you that they operate in wisdom. We thank you that they operate in joy. We thank you that they operate in love. We thank you, Father God, that they operate, Father God, under a heavy anointing to see your people set free. We thank you that discernment will increase in the people of God right now under the sound of my voice. That, Father God, that they may not be fooled. That they may not be fooled, God. That they may know and they may see and they may understand your character and your personality. Father, I lose a thirst and a hunger and a desire for prayer. A thirst and a hunger and a desire for your word, God, upon the people of God under the sound of my voice, that we might read your word, that we may understand your word, and that your word would be like honey to our lips, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Father God, you are worthy of all our praise. We give you glory and we give you all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for the food that's been prepared in the kitchen. We ask you to bless those that are working in the kitchen that have prepared the food. We ask you to bless the food and sanctify it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.